Today, our guest on our program is Joshua Heyer. He is the superintendent from the Ogden School District. Thanks for taking time to come and visit with us.
Good morning, Jim.
We're not going back to school yet. Nope, but been busy. Again, summertime, a lot of busy for facilities, getting things done. You've had a roofing project going on.
Well, we're getting ready to do a roof over at the elementary. Okay. So, yeah, they're actually going to be starting that there in July. But we got a large portion of the roof at the elementary that's going to be redone. It's a flat roof. It's kind of end of its use. Yeah. And one of the things that we continually do is making sure that we're using our PEPL, voter PEPL dollars, save dollars, to making sure that we have a good roof system across the district. So we kind of have a roof schedule, and it's the time of year where we're going to be doing those projects. And yes, this summer, in July, a lot of the people in the community, if you're wondering what's going on at that elementary, well, we're updating the roof.
Central State?
Yes.
Okay. Don't worry. They got a lot of them. They're doing, and it's one of the things they do. They're known for take care of the flat roofs for
the
schools.
Roofs.
And gotta do those. Trying to think. I know United was doing some roof repair as well too. So again, same kind of thing. And I know Boone's got Franklin going on. So, and yeah, Central State's doing all of those. They don't have to go far. They can just right down the road here. But it is one of those things that you have to do. And maintenance in the summertime is one of the big things. So roofing, obviously, big one there. What other things are going on for buildings? Doing painting, carpeting, anything like that?
You know, honestly, it's just a lot of deep cleaning this summer. We do have a few people that are moving office spaces. And whenever those office spaces become vacant and we're kind of in that transition moving furniture, we always take the opportunity to try and revitalize them either with a fresh paint and or carpet or whatever. But no, honestly, last year we did the new track. It seems like every summer we're biting off a larger project. And this summer it just so happens to be the roof. Besides that, our custodial crew, they're working a lot of hours and they're doing a great job. I think we're ahead of schedule. But they're just doing a lot of deep cleaning in both of our campuses.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did get, during your last meeting, had some of the folks from, was it
FRK.
FRK, yeah. Came in and started doing some just discussion, basically. We don't have a plan, but they had recently done some meetings with community members, getting input, and then starting to go through that and kind of take a look at, you know, what do community members think and what kinds of things are we looking at here? Facility needs for Ogden.
So. That's exactly right, Jim. So FRK has been a partner architect that we've used for a variety of projects in Ogden. And we hired them to really lead us through some subcommittee work. And just as you were mentioning there, is we really wanted to get the perspective of our teachers, some of our students, some of our parents, just get a wide net, if you will, of what...
Did they feel, and did they tell the board they felt pretty good about the kind of input that they were getting from people? Because that's always important. You know, you can get together with a bunch of people, but if nobody says anything.
No, it was a great cross-section, and the way that they were able to facilitate the meetings, I think ultimately allowed for just organic conversation to be able to say, hey, here are the things that we think are going really well in Ogden with the facilities and the spaces, but here are some of the things that we want to see in the future, and this is maybe where our facilities, the environment that we have, maybe is a little bit short. So they identified all those, and they presented a report to the board on just identifying. And some of those, I don't have the report in front of me, but it would be a lot of it is our high school space. We have done some really nice additions. We moved the middle school over, but we have some older elements in the high school that need to be revitalized.
Yeah. Our career. We talked a little bit about this last time. We have it's decades old building, the insides.
Yes.
And it kind of looks that way.
It does. So, you know, it's really interesting when you walk into a new modern room that was done within the last 5 to 10 years and you're able to see the finishes, the learning environment and what that is and the flexibility that the teacher has versus you go into one of our older spaces and quickly you see the discrepancy and why we might be able to, you know, need change. So not only do we we need change for those environments, but also for just the mechanical upgrades as well. Whenever all of us are homeowners, or many of us are, and you have to maintain those items. So it was a good report. Nothing has really been set. Really, the action item was is, as a board, let's come together later this summer and have a work session to really discuss what are our next steps now that we have this information.
Take a look at, you get this, and then you can sit down, and more than likely they'll be there to help kind of pick the, kind of drive them through all the different things that come up. And it's a great way to build your strategic plan.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, we have a strategic plan. I would say that this is kind of our facility master strategic plan, that we're really looking and saying, okay, where do we want to be in 10 years from now with our facilities? And let's be intentional in making sure that we're biting off parts of that elephant to make sure that we can get there to the finish line, rather than maybe avoiding it. When we avoid it, now all of a sudden it takes us a lot more to be able to actually upgrade and get those facilities where we want.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, then that helps with a lot of financial planning, and I'm not sure where the district is on this, but you did use, we talked about the Pebble, using that, and you've got roofing projects, and you've got the using some of your saved dollars for that. That's the local option sales tax stuff.
Correct.
But, you like to know, and you plan accordingly. Where should we start saving? What do we need to start saving? How do we go forward to this next project? And it is all part of the overall planning scheme.
You're exactly right, Jim. And, you know, I think the two things that you mentioned there were is a save. Well, we need a revenue purpose statement for that. And ours actually expires in 2031. So, you know, some of this conversation is that we need to possibly update and, renew that voter Pebble. Our revenue purpose statement for the save. In addition, in 2028, our voter Pebble expires. So I think all of those things are in conversation, and we want to be able to plan that work out, you know, and make sure that we can improve the facilities, but also we have the financial means of being able to do it with being fiscally conservative to our patrons as well.
Yeah, want to make sure everybody's on the same page when we're going forward to. And then targeting and prioritizing just where you want to try to spend the money. Have to do that too. Well, you got that part done. And so later this summer, board will have a little bit of a work session in there.
Sometime. Yeah, sometime. I think we haven't set a date, but I imagine later in July, we're going to come together and really just discuss at a deeper level, what does this all mean? And we need to be able to gather some financial information to be able to present that to the board so that we can have a really good, productive work session.
Yeah. Well, June meeting, like so many districts, a lot of the regular things came up for everybody, like AEA. Now we have to make sure we get our contract to get so much money to them. The state. Yeah, it's amazing what they do. Before, the money just went to the AEA and you got the services. Now you have to start reserving your opportunities.
Correct. Yeah, the board ultimately takes some action, and we used to have flow-through dollars that went to EAA so that we could have those supports. And with legislative change, it just says that now the dollar has that, but we need to spend 90% of our dollars for EAA. So that action ultimately was is that they can bill us and we will pay the bill for that 90% of special education services.
So that's what we're doing. Anyway, but yeah, everybody's going through the same process. You have to do that too. Did you take a look at the, you did also do the deductible buy down, the proposal that's out there. And once again, Ogden's had a little bit of hail damage and some derecho damage as well. 1%. I don't care what your facilities are. 1% deductible is a pretty good chunk.
It is. So, yeah, you know, I'm a bit new to all this, but I believe with all the derechos, hail, et cetera, that came through, insurance providers came back and said, listen, I think we're probably losing a lot of money. So they ended up taking the deductible from a certain rate. They did 1% of your assessed value. Well, you know, when you have a school system, I mean, our millions of dollars is our overall assessed value. So our deductible was going to be just astronomical if we were to have some issues. So the buy down that you're discussing and mentioning really allows us to be able to pay something on the front end. It's a deductible buy down mm-hmm. that if we were to have hail, wind, a derecho, something in that nature, it isn't going to be 1% of our assessed value. It's just going to be the $10,000 yeah. flat rate. Much more economical exactly. and reasonable for a school system.
I tell you, well, getting a lot of schools to go together on that was the big thing, because you're building a pool, and we're, you know, our premise is that we're not going to have massive school districts being affected all at the same time. We'll have a handful that might have to go through it. I know what the derecho went through here, and yeah, we had more than enough. So.
Yep, it was a good opportunity for us to do a 2080 agreement yeah. and join in with a lot of other schools, and hopefully we're pooling those dollars together. I'm sure there's some actuary science behind it, and they're doing all the calculations, it definitely makes it more affordable for us in the event that we were to experience some hail or wind damage. This is a good route for us to go.
Well, your finance officer, I'm sure, is going, good. We don't have to save millions. Imagine 1%. That's a big chunk.
I would anticipate our deductible would be about $500,000, Jim.
At least. Well, that's why they're doing this, folks, if you're wondering what's happening. It's all part of districts actually collaborating. Well, you did have some insurance people that actually came together and say, we think this might be your best option right now, and it is much more affordable if you make it work. So keep our fingers crossed. We got other things taken care of for the new school year, milk, bread bids, all of those. That's pretty typical to go through.
And those are pretty standard, and honestly, we didn't see any increases based off of those. So our board just took action just to recontinue either with the contracts that we had mm-hmm. or with those rates that we had from the previous years.
What else came up during that meeting? Again, it wasn't overly busy, overly long, but you did have a few things to talk about.
Overall, that was a large part of it. There was one other item that we haven't mentioned yet, which was kind of the break fix program. And for those listeners that aren't aware of it, it is another kind of an insurance plan for mm-hmm. mechanical items that we have. If they were to be damaged or break during the school year, we pay a rate for that. Mm-hmm. And our premium then allows us to recoup some of the expenses for those repairs. So it's a good way for us to protect some of our categorical funds, and we used that last year, and we did have the board go ahead and renew that again for this upcoming school year with that break fix program for mechanical equipment.
I.e. boilers, anything like that.
Yep, anything mechanical that can be repaired, we can go ahead and take the cost of those repairs and then seek reimbursement. So it's a good program overall.
Any kind of HVAC systems you've got, those are not inexpensive. So this is the kind of thing that helps out there too. Staffing, you did pick up a couple of other staff members. And as we get ready to, again, well, we're ending up this school year, and then in July we start the new one. So we're looking pretty good at this point, it seems like.
We are. Yeah, we're really excited to come into the start of the school year, and even right for it be middle of June here, we are fully staffed for certified teachers. So our teaching positions, leadership positions, all of those are in place. Over the next week or two, we'll be doing some support staff. We have mm-hmm. some classified positions that need to be hired, and even some coaching and or some sponsors mm-hmm. that need to be filled out. But we'll be doing that in early July. We have a good candidate pool for those, so we're excited to get those all done and over with.
Are we seeing a little more, again, on the candidate pool side? Because I know for the certified positions, the numbers had been going down, but we seem to be stabilizing a little bit now.
We are stabilizing, but unfortunately, they're still pretty low.
Yeah.
I think that's
much lower than we would like them to be.
They are lower than what we would like, and lower than I have seen in previous years. So I'm not sure what we need to do to get that up. Talking to other superintendent friends, they're experiencing a lot of the same issues. There's just some high need, hard to fill positions, and there's not a lot of people that are in the pre-service teacher programs to fill those positions. So a huge issue across the state in some of those areas.
Well, we do have, if Mother Nature lets them keep playing, a lot of activities that are still going on. we're trying to get all the ball games in, because tournaments start pretty soon here. We don't have, we hit July and here we go.
It's crazy to imagine, but I believe our first postseason is July 5th for baseball and maybe July 7th for softball, which it seems like they just had their first game, Jim, and we're already talking about postseason. But no, both teams are doing, I think, pretty well. We would obviously always want more wins, but I think we're batting around 500 for both of those programs, and hopefully they get hot at the right time as we're winding down the season and getting ready to go into postseason play.
Got a few different coaches helping there. So
yeah.
Good. Go Scott. Yeah, we keep pushing on them. Let's see. I was going to ask a couple other things, because we did mention the strategic plan, because what? This was a little over a year ago. I think you were really pushing to get that done and stuff. So are we still moving forward with it, the way the plan has together? And I know it's kind of one of those living documents. You can make adjustments to it.
Yeah, I think it's been a really good grounding document. It's kind of been that northern star, the map of the things that we are going to be doing in the district. A week ago, we actually had our district level retreat that we were actually planning the 25-26 school year. And it was really refreshing when we're having those conversations. We said, well, what does our strategic plan say? And we were going back to what are the district priorities? And then we were able to look at some data sets to be able to say, are we meeting the mark to identify and make success for those district priorities? And ultimately, organically, because we had that plan in place, we were able to really figure out what is the things that we need to do next year to continue to move the needle for our school district. So we have a lot of successes. There's so many things that I could celebrate that are going on extremely well in our district, but yet we also have opportunities to improve. And we were able to highlight those things with our retreat that we had just a couple weeks ago. And we created something called a wildly important goal. Jim, it's something that's really, it's going to be a focus, but it's going to be something that we are really going to, everybody in our system is going to be attacking this, and hopefully by attacking that one thing, we're going to hopefully see significant growth.
Wildly
important goal. It's actually called a WIG, but there's a lot of people, it's our continuous improvement process.
Sure.
And our wildly important goal is really catered around student growth.
And what am I doing in this area that will help us achieve what we want to with that goal?
Absolutely. And really what it is everybody is rowing in the same direction. Mm-hmm. So we have a district level goal that's focused on that, and then it kind of trickles down into the buildings. The buildings go down into the either the grade level or content level or the professional learning communities, which trickle down into the individual teacher. So everybody is working in the same direction. And if everybody is working in the same direction for that one specific goal, the odds that you are able to actually accomplish that goal certainly increase. Yeah.
Has your staff had a chance to take a look at like some of those statewide assessments that were done? Because those numbers now have come out to the districts where you take a look at how did we do in our reading competencies and math over here, which is a whole challenge in itself for some, but were the numbers looking pretty good? Did you did they set off anything that board members were interested? How did we get here? How do we get it up to here?
Yeah, so we actually have received our 24-25 Iowa assessment data. It came back and we were able to look and figure out was our proficiencies comparative to previous years. Pleased to report out that we had some growth over the last year in all areas, science. Our literacy scores stayed about the same. And then our math actually increased across the district. It increased 4%. So all three of our critical assessment areas, we are at the 80% proficiency or higher. So that's a great celebration. But we also want to find out, we have some pockets that are performing at 95, 96, 97% proficient, those grade levels is what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
So we're really trying to look under a microscope and say, what are they doing and how might we be able to replicate that across our system? Because we want not only 80, we want that higher and higher and higher performance. So
keep pushing it up.
Yep. And that really then makes that connection to that wildly important goal that I was mentioning to you, Jim, earlier.
No, those are, you know, people look at those numbers and then, and when I look at them, I look and I say, okay, they've improved. The question is, what were you trying to get to? And each district has their own philosophy on how to get there. And But the big thing is your staff always takes that information and how do we work together to take this group of second graders, now that they're third graders, and keep them moving in that direction.
Absolutely. Yep. And really, it's a level of differentiation for all of our students. And you may have some students that are advanced, but we want to be able to give them the materials and supports mm-hmm. to continue to grow them and allow them to achieve. So we're really differentiating across the system. And yes, I think the Iowa assessment scores yeah. are under a microscope because it is a quantifiable, people can relate to numbers.
Yeah.
It is important, but we're also looking at other aspects that we view are important as well, as far as are students involved in extracurricular activities? What is their attendance rate across the system? What's our ACT scores? Are they experiencing having a vast array of experiences outside of the four classrooms? Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a lot of different things beyond just those numbers to measure our overall success.
What was it again? Wildly?
Wildly important goal.
Wildly weak.
Yes.
Joshua Heyer, our guest on our program today. I do appreciate you taking time. Let's see, you got July meeting, and then August and school's back.
Yes, it's going very fast. We got to slow it down a little bit, Jim.
Just give you a little break in there. All righty. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.